Let me open with a story I recently read from Garth Werfritz Hansen. It was a bright, sunny day, and Maggie was very happy. It was her birthday. She was 7 years old. That afternoon, Margie's mother gave her a party. All of her friends were there. Margie blew out all the candles on one blow. Her friends cheered and urged her to open her presents. She got a bracelet, a new blouse, a baby doll, and a book of adventure stories. Her favorite gift was a friendship ring given from her best friend, Helen. It was silver and had a red heart in the center. Margie told Helen it was the best present she had ever received, and she promised to wear it everywhere. The next day, a beautiful woman came to Margie's school to talk about hungry children. The beautiful woman was a movie actress who had given a year of her life to travel as a goodwill ambassador for UNICEF. She told them about all the hungry children she had visited around the world. In Cambodia, she had met a hungry boy who told her, "Sometimes I cry, but only when it rains, so the other children won't see." Then she said, "You and I can help wipe away his tears." She told them about refugee camps in Somalia, Ethiopia, Uganda, and of a little country called Djibouti, all on the Horn of Africa. She told the children of millions of people who would soon die in refugee camps unless the world did something to help them. When she finished speaking, all of the students in Margie's school crowded around the woman, thanked her for her speech, asked her for autographs. But when Margie stepped up, she took off her silver ring, the one with the red heart in the center, and she gave it to her. And she said, "When you meet a little girl in one of those refugee camps who needs a ring, please give this to her." Her teacher came up and said, "Margie, you shouldn't give away your ring. What would your parents say?" But this beautiful woman said, "Let her give what she can. She may not always have so much to give or the heart to give it." In today's gospel, we witness just such an extravagant gift. It's 6 days before the Passover. Jesus is in Bethany, at the home of Lazarus, who he's just raised from the dead. It's a party. It's a celebration, sort of like the celebration we encountered last week at the end of the parable of the prodigal son, when we hear the son who was dead is alive again. Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, are there. So is Judas, along with pretty much everyone else who has witnessed Lazarus' resurrection. Typical of Martha, she's serving the meal. Typical of Mary, she's seated at Jesus' feet. Only this time, she isn't seated listening to him talk. This time, Mary is the center of attention. She has got a jar of very, very expensive fragrant oils, and she's anointing Jesus' feet with them. She wipes his feet with her hair. Clearly, her gratitude for the gift of new life for her brother is beyond measure, and her gift in return, just as extravagant. Paul Tillich writes about this, and he calls this gift an example of holy waste. She's given an example of waste, which, as Jesus says, is a beautiful thing, Tillich writes. It is a holy waste, a waste growing out of the abundance of the heart. Don't miss that. This extravagance, this holy waste, is completely and totally unreasonable. There is no accounting for it. Something that Judas is quick to point out when he says, why wasn't this oil sold and the money given to the poor? It easily could have bought 300 silver pieces, he says. Now, I think Judas is being hard dealt with by John. When he writes, he said this not because he cared 2 cents for the poor, but because he was a thief. Yes, I think John is clearly aware that Judas will betray him. As a matter of fact, 6 days before the Passover, as it was, the wheels of betrayal are probably already in motion. But I don't think that Judas didn't care. As a matter of fact, I think Judas probably cared quite a bit about the poor. That Judas' response to Mary's extravagance, his reaction to this holy waste, it was all perfectly reasonable. The money that Mary had spent on the oil clearly could have been used for the relief of the poor. And wasn't that what Jesus was all about? Caring for those in need. Judas' response is completely reasonable. His complaint, totally understandable. And it is that element of reason that I think gets him and gets most of us in trouble. You see, Judas is seeing this event not through the eyes of faith, but through the eyes of reason. He's not seeing it through the eyes of gratitude, not through the eyes of ecstatic love, the sort of love that takes us out of ourselves and out of our ordinary lives. No, Judas sees this event through the eyes of reason. He is being perfectly practical. Realistic, down to earth. He's using what we would usually call common sense. Unfortunately, what's missing from his calculations is that rare and often misunderstood notion of generosity of spirit. That notion that Tillich reminds us of when he wrote earlier about holy waste. Listen to Tillich again when he says, without the abundance of the heart, nothing great can happen. Religion, within the limits of reasonableness, is mutated religion. Calculating love is not love at all. Let her give what she can. She may not always have so much to give or the heart to give it. Mary's gift to Jesus, her extravagance, her holy waste, was a gift that grew out of an overflowing sense of abundance, a depth of love and gratitude for Jesus and what he had done for her family. Her actions may not have been reasonable or practical. They were, in fact, wasteful. But Jesus wasn't in the business of analyzing her motivations or the long-term costs and benefits of her actions. He simply accepted them for what they were, the generosity of a loving and grateful heart. May God give us such open hearts. May God give us such open hands that with Jesus and Mary's and countless other examples throughout human history, we may be moved to such extravagant and wasteful love. May we always know that we have much to give. May we always have the heart to give it. Amen.